Good afternoon. I'm Adam Ragusea, Assistant News Director here at WFIU, and it's time for you to ask the mayor. Kokomo Mayor Matt McKillop is with us to answer questions about city issues of concern to you. Phone numbers to call to speak with Matt McKillop are toll-free 877-285-9348, or a local call in the Bloomington area is 855-0811. And if you prefer, you can send an email to mayor@indiana.edu. We do check that email throughout the show. Once again, the phone numbers to call are toll-free 877-285-9348, or a local call in the Bloomington area is 855-0811. The email is mayor@indiana.edu. Welcome, Mayor McKillop. Thank you for joining us again.
Well, good afternoon, and good afternoon to all your listeners.
Sir, let's get right to it and talk about you gave a presentation earlier this morning at the Birthright of Kokomo, the pregnancy center. What did that presentation consist of?
Well, I got a tour of this fine facility in Kokomo that helps over right around 1,000 women, young women and girls a year, make life decisions about pregnancies. And we specifically went to honor with a key to the city, Mrs. Elaine Camille, who is a hometown hero. She's donated services as director to that organization for over 20 years since the Kokomo chapter of Birthright was started in 1987. So we went to really honor a hometown hero and present her with a key to the city. And I think about 40 volunteers that helped Birthright were there to help honor her, and it was just a real joyous occasion.
What is it about the work that the Birthright Center does that particularly attracts you to it?
Well, a lot of things. Obviously, I believe strongly in the sanctity of life, so that attracts me to it right away. But what I like is it allows young women to have a place to go to talk to people about abortion alternatives and about raising their baby when a young woman may not be able to talk or have available to talk with family members, does pregnancy testing for women, and just really gives them a very secure and confidential environment where they can go talk to somebody about, you know, what for a young woman is with an unexpected pregnancy is a very difficult time, and they lead them in the direction of making life decisions. And, you know, as I said in the media release, they're based on the principle that it's the right of every pregnant woman to give birth and the right of every child to be born, and I certainly believe in that 100%, and with the work that Mrs. Camille and her team have done, it's just been a tremendous contribution for our community. There are a lot of babies and now young men and women after 20 years that are alive in Kokomo because of the time that they have donated to this ministry.
I imagine that giving out keys to the city is one of the happiest duties that you have as mayor.
Well, it is. It's something that I really like to do, and it's something that we changed when I became mayor. You know, a lot of administrations order, basically mail order keys to the city, which, if you guys can imagine, there is such a thing as catalogs for mayors to order things from, and we decided to take a different route. We decided to ask a local company here, Haynes International, if they would make keys to the city, since they make special alloys and invent them here and make them here, and they agreed to do it. So they make a very unique key, you know, one-of-a-kind key that we present, and we present them only to what we call hometown heroes, which is one of the other changes we made, where rather than honor people from outside of town who may come to Kokomo, which often happens with keys to the cities, we decided that it would be more appropriate to honor people who live right here in Kokomo, who've dedicated some aspect of their life to making Kokomo a better place. So today's key is the 19th key in about 3.5 years that I've presented to a local hometown hero.
That spotlight that you have to offer to folks who provide services to residents of Kokomo is undoubtedly pretty powerful within the community. I'm wondering, where do you think you might point it next in your time as mayor?
Well, you know, and you're right, that people do. In fact, Mrs. Camille, I've known her for years, but her name was suggested to me as a key to the city, and I've already had one suggested to me for next month, and to be honest, we like to keep those confidential, but you'll be getting a media release in about a month on another important one that we're going to present here in town.
That's
a lot of them we think of here in the administration or people suggest them and bring them to my attention and tell me about some service that the person's performed, you know, for many years, and we honor them. And we certainly had a lot of good ones to give away in the 3.5 years I've been mayor.
All right, sir. We look forward to hearing about those as they come in the future. Let's move on to the issue of budget hearings in Kokomo. Budget hearings, of course, going on all over the state of Indiana this time of year. You yourself had described the budget that you submitted, I believe, as a bit lean. And I'm noticing that the Common Council's allocations have differed a bit from what you've proposed. Could you talk about how you feel those hearings have been going?
Yeah, I think the hearings are going about the same they do every year, and you're right, Adam. We did propose a very lean budget. We try to do that every year, but especially this year with the property tax increases that residents across the state have been walloped with. You know, I asked my department heads and requested of the council that this year especially we hold the line on spending. We've done a good job of every year reducing spending growth, but this year especially, I wanted to make sure that city government in no way would contribute to property tax increases next year. So, you know, I actually proposed a budget that had in many areas spending decreases. In fact, the budget I submitted for 08 was almost 0.5% lower on the property tax base funds than the budget that I submitted last year. And I think our taxpayers really demand that. Which is why I've asked all of our department heads to really pull in their belts and cut wherever they could. Now, this year in the budget hearings, as happens almost every year in the first few hearings, the council adds in a bunch of things that have been cut out. And that's happened this year. I think the numbers I'm looking at right now, so far the council has added back in about $1.4 million. And as happens in the past, they add in more than we have room for. So in their final budget meetings and their second reading of the budget, they're going to have to trim that back down. They're going to have to cut it about in half because we gave them about $600,000 of wiggle room. So they're going to have to cut that back down to get that back down to a more reasonable number. But that's the normal process.
Among the budget cuts that you proposed in your budget was to your own office, to the mayor's office. If I'm interpreting the numbers correctly, the Common Council has proposed reinstating about $20,000 of that funding.
Yeah, let me look here and just verify if that's sure. Right. Yeah, it is. It's about $24,000, almost $25,000 that they proposed putting back in. I believe most of that was for promotion and development, things like city newsletters and employee newsletters, things like that. And we proposed, although we recognize the value of those and believe they're very important, given that in past years the council's been very critical of those publications and said that the money needed to be cut, we went ahead and this year offered that up as a place that they could cut. But it seems that at least right now the council's decided that that's a place they want to add back in for the next mayor.
Ultimately, city government is a rather minor draw on citizens' property tax bills when compared to schools or statewide costs. Do you think that the tightening of the city's budget is mostly symbolic in the way that you proposed it, or is it really substantial?
Well, I think it's substantial. I wouldn't say it's minor. You know, when we look at the Howard County Kokomo taxpayers' tax bill, city government property tax-wise, city government, I believe, represents somewhere around 30% of the average property tax bill in Kokomo. But you're correct, the schools represent a much bigger percentage, and then county government and the library and solid waste district are all smaller percentages than the city. So I don't think it's symbolic. I think every little bit helps the taxpayers, and what we are hoping is that the other taxing units, the county, the library, the solid waste district, and the school corporations alike will take note of what we have done and the outrage expressed by our taxpayers and do their part in trying to lower the property tax bill for our residents. So I don't think it's symbolic. What hurts is when every taxing unit takes the state maximum allowed increase, the increase that the state allows. That when they all add up and do that, it guarantees that our property tax owners year after year are going to have substantial increases.
From where you sit, is there still really palpable frustration about property taxes in Kokomo and Howard County?
Without a doubt. There's a lot of frustration. You know, I'm actually surprised that we don't see more protests like we've seen on the nightly news going on in Indianapolis and Muncie, but we had increases, you know, equally as large in Howard County. But the thing is, we got our tax bills out in April, so where Indianapolis is just now getting theirs out. Our protest was back in April and in May, and, you know, it's still on the people's minds. There's, in fact, been a political action committee started in Howard County that is their purpose is to, you know, work with elected officials or those who are running for office and get their commitment to do everything they can to lower property taxes. So it'll be interesting to see as this election cycle unfolds in coming months the impact that that political action committee has, as well as, you know, this budget process and those who are running for election, what they say about property taxes. It's always easy to point fingers at the state, and certainly we know changes at the state level have had a dramatic effect on property taxes. But ultimately, all we can do is ask the state to change ways, but we also locally have to try to do our part in bringing down property taxes, and that's what this budget that I've proposed does. It sets the stage for much-needed property tax relief in Kokomo.
I'd like to remind our listeners that we're speaking with Kokomo Mayor Matt McKillop. He's here to answer our questions, but also to answer your questions about city issues of concern. The phone numbers to call to speak with Mayor McKillop are toll-free 877-285-9348, or local call in Bloomington is 855-0811. And, of course, you can send an email to mayor@indiana.edu. Mayor McKillop, before we leave the issue of the budget, can you walk us through the remaining steps in the budget process that we can expect, and any other opportunities that the public in Kokomo might have to offer some comment?
Well, there's one more budget hearing tomorrow night at 6:30, and that's the council kind of wrapping up their ideas on what they may want to add and subtract. And then we have a budget has three readings. It's already gone through its first reading and vote by the city council. And next, I believe it's next Monday night, the second reading of the budget will go before the city council. Yes, that's right, next Monday night at 7 o'clock. And that's really a good opportunity, because there will be an opportunity for the public to come and voice their support of increases or cuts. And that I would encourage as many people to come as possible, because that is the night when the last time where the council can consider any increases, because in the third reading, my understanding is all they can do is cut or pass it as is, and the third reading will be then in early September. Then I sign it. Then it gets passed by the council, and I either sign it or veto it.
Yeah, let's not forget that step, yeah.
Yeah, then basically we have until the end of September to get that budget done and down to the state, first day of October. And if for some reason I would veto it or it wouldn't get passed by the city council, by state law, the budget that was passed last year would become our budget for this year.
Mr. Mayor, when your office first released its proposed budget for 2008, it was accompanied by a statement from your office that, among other things, suggested that the public might want to consider whether or not they want to continue supporting, at least through city government funding, Kokomo's Early Learning Center. And that has provoked some public conversation, and I'm wondering how you've interpreted that conversation so far.
Well, it did provoke some conversation, but unfortunately, our local newspaper and one radio station misinformed the public by telling them that I had proposed that my budget had no funding for the Early Learning Center, for our daycare center. And that was inaccurate. Anybody that has looked at the budget and seen it knows that I kept the funding for the center, trimmed it a little bit like all of our departments, but it was in there. So there was, from those who are currently using the daycare, certainly an outcry that I had cut it out of the budget, when in fact I had not. But what I hear when I walk around the street are kind of two reactions. In fact, had a telephone conversation with another elected official this morning. The first is shock that the city of Kokomo has a daycare center that is funded from property taxes. So the majority of people don't know it's even there and that their property taxes are going to fund over $1.1 million that the parents are not funding in the daycare center. And then, to be honest, the majority of people that talk to me about it do not think that that's a legitimate function of government and that that's something that needs to be cut out. But, you know, I believe that that's the decision that the city council needs to make, and they have not, as of yet, had any kind of public discussions on it. I think they should. The only thing they said in their budget hearings was that at this time they were not ready to cut it. In fact, they added in about $44,000 of spending into the daycare center. And the reason I want the subject addressed, Adam, and mayors across the state who are hearing this today, or city councils, realize this, is that cities are facing financial crunches, and just like our property owners and homeowners are, and that our health care costs for our employees are exploding, and our pension liabilities for our police and fire departments are exploding. It's going to go up over $600,000 this year in Kokomo alone. And the bottom line is, if we do not start trimming some of these non-essential or even, you know, what are maybe questionable functions of city that the city government's currently doing, if we don't start trimming them now, in a couple years, the next mayor is going to have no choice but to make draconian cuts in some of those areas in order to keep our public safety funding at the levels it needs to be. So I prefer an incremental approach, and unfortunately, if the council refuses to discuss the Early Learning Center in a couple of years, they're going to have no choice but to defund it completely.
We have spoken to a few folks about the Early Learning Center since you got this conversation started just over a month ago, and there is a good deal of support for the services that the services that the center does offer in the community, regardless of how it is funded, in terms of providing child care to folks who might not otherwise be able to afford it. Do you see the opportunity for do you see the potential for enough support in the city of Kokomo to potentially fund the center or something like it as a private social service agency through private donations?
Well, I doubt that would ever happen. Our social service agencies in Kokomo are struggling. The ones we have today are struggling to raise the funds they need. That's United Way and the YMCA, and you know, other organizations are just struggling to meet their needs today. So I cannot see another social service agency that would make it only on donations being able to make it. But Adam, the bottom line, and this is what the other elected official told me this morning, and I tend to agree with him, this is a service that's already provided in the private sector, and there's already a service by the Salvation Army that provides it for people who cannot afford it on a slide, and they can pay on a sliding scale. So should private government be competing with a business that's already more efficiently provided in the private sector? And as a conservative Republican, my answer to that is no. And what I propose as a transition is that we consider using some of our federal community development block grant funds to provide vouchers to parents, low-income families, that they could redeem at any licensed daycare center in Kokomo to help cover the cost of daycare for their children. I think that's a better way to handle this. It's better for the taxpayers, and it keeps us from competing with the private sector on a service like this. It's an important service. It's something that certainly helps kids and families. I don't question that for a minute. The key question is this a legitimate function of local government? And you know, we are the only city in Indiana that provides this function from local government, one of few even in the nation. And I think other cities have come to the conclusion that this is not an essential or legitimate function of government, especially when those dollars compete for dollars that are needed for hiring new policemen or buying new fire engines or providing ambulance rides for our community, things like that, that we know are essential services of government. And, you know, as I said, I hope we would begin addressing it this year. It looks like they're going to push it off to later years. But unfortunately, the longer it's not addressed, at some point in the very near future, because of financial strains, they will have no choice but to completely defund it. And that would be too bad if something like that had to happen just overnight.
Well, Mr. Mayor, the last question I'll ask about the budget before we leave the topic is, under what circumstances could you see yourself vetoing the budget that comes back to you?
Well, I believe, at least my understanding from what my attorney has said, is by law the city council cannot create a budget that's larger than what we've published. So if they do add in too much spending, then I may veto it or not sign it. Not signing it is a pocket veto. And, you know, I have said loudly and strongly, and so have our residents, that the council needs to lead by example and make some cuts in their own budget. And instead, they have added $140,000 into their own budget so that they could fund their own health care. They are the only part-time employees in the city who receive a very generous health care plan. I propose cutting that out and saving the taxpayers $140,000, and they have chosen to put it in, and that may, you know, when push comes to shove, that may be one of the issues that would make this a budget to veto. But I would rather not be put into the position of veto if they stay within the published budget that we presented to them, which will allow us to fund everything we funded this year, plus give our employees the 3% pay increase and meets all of our union contractual obligations. It would be a good number to stay within. So if they stay within the published budget, I'm sure we'll come to an agreement and have something we can sign and present to the state by October the 1st.
All right, Mr. Mayor, thank you so much for discussing that issue in such depth and detail with us. Let's move on to some unrelated topics, and this is one that I realize you may be a little bit constrained into the extent to which you can talk about it, but you did offer some testimony before the Howard County Election Board recently concerning some issues of some contributions to your 2004 and 2007 campaigns that were not accounted for in a way that County Clerk Mona Myers was satisfied with. Can you tell us about, from your end, what led up to this testimony and how it went for you?
Well, I think the, ultimately the board wanted to hear directly from me under oath some answers to some questions that they had, and I was very willing, as I have been all along, to answer any questions that the board has had about my contributions. And so last Wednesday I sat down for about, I think it was about somewhere between an hour and a half, and answered a few questions for them, and I hope that resolves any of the issues. It's the first time I've been invited or even informed about one of their meetings. You know, I know there's been some statements made by a few people in the media that had I come to one of their earlier meetings, this could have been resolved earlier, but the fact is that no one on my campaign staff has been told when the election board was meeting to discuss these things in the past, and so obviously if we're not told about it, we wouldn't be there to speak on it. But, you know, we have done everything in our reports and the follow-up amendments we've made and letters we've written to the clerk and to the election board to answer every one of their questions, and, you know, I'm hopeful that after last Wednesday that we have done that and that we can close this thing down and move forward. But if they have any additional questions, we will continue to cooperate fully and answer them, and if necessary, make amendments to the report.
Well, the clerk had been quoted as saying that that your office had not been forthcoming in giving the election board information that they had requested. What do you think led to that statement?
Well, I don't know. I think that would be a better question of the clerk, because in this whole process, every single letter, and I'll say there were somewhere, I don't have them in front of me, but three or four letters that were written from the clerk or the election board were all addressed to my campaign treasurer, never to me. And so my campaign treasurer was, as anybody would do, he responded, and he responded with what he knew and answered and even met with the clerk and reviewed bank statements and deposit receipts and even printed out some reports from the computer system and went over those with them. And so, no, I had not answered questions because until I was asked to come before the election board, none of the letters or requests from the election board had been directed to me. But, you know, now that they are, I have been fully cooperative and, you know, obviously had talked with my treasurer when he called me, when he got the letters. And so I think that's just bottom line, a better question to ask of her, because at least I know of no question that was ever asked that we did not answer.
All right, sir. Well, I imagine anything more specific than this you're not going to be able to really discuss with us. Is there anything else you'd like to say about the issue before we leave it?
No, I don't believe so. I just think, you know, I don't know if you read the article, but as my attorney said, that normally, you know, it's routine to have minor omissions or sometimes addition errors or whatnot on these reports. And my report, since we list every single donation made, sometimes they are hundreds of pages long, and the normal process, as was done with other candidates that filed the same time I filed my reports this year, the normal process in this is to, you know, write a letter or just call the candidate or the treasurer up and say, we believe there's an error here. Could you file an amended report? And they do so, and it's done quietly, and everything's taken care of. And in this case, it was handled a little bit differently. But, you know, the bottom line is she has a right to ask questions, and we've got a duty to answer them, and we will continue to answer if there are any more questions, anything else that the clerk or the election board asks.
Well, we just have a few more minutes of Kokomo Mayor Matt McKillop's time here on the program. Mr. Mayor, let's talk about some lighter issues. First of all, did you make it to the Taste of Kokomo this year?
You know, I did, and I had spent the whole day out doing some landscaping in my yard, and by the time evening rolled around, I was exhausted and did not make it downtown, but I heard it was a great event, and the temperatures were cool enough that everybody really enjoyed it, so did not. But I do plan on making this weekend. We've got a lot of festivities going on because of our auto heritage. You know, this is the birthplace of the automobile, and we're celebrating 150 years of the birth of Mr. Haynes, who invented the first automobile here in Kokomo. And so this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we have car shows, cruise-ins, and all kinds of events going on in Kokomo, and would hope that all of your listeners get on the city's website at cityofkokomo.org and learn about those events and come visit Kokomo and celebrate our great national auto heritage, which was all started right here in Kokomo.
And I know, sir, you're particularly excited about the Indianapolis Indians.
I am. I'm going to be down there this Saturday. It's Kokomo night at the Indians, and I get the honor of throwing out the first ball, but we've also got our VFW color guard coming down from Kokomo that are going to be out there with the flag when the national anthem's sung, and the national anthem is going to be sung by Kokomo's Kokomo Idol winner from an earlier competition this summer. So it's going to be an all-Kokomo day, and anybody from around your listening audience that's from Kokomo, you need to come down, and it's going to be a nice night, Saturday night at the Indianapolis Indians, and come down and, you know, just celebrate Kokomo and celebrate a good time out of the ball game.
All right, sir, well, it's going to be a little bit before we're able to speak with you again, so anything else coming up in Kokomo across the beginning of the fall that you'd like to bring up while you have the chance?
No, you know, around October, just get on the city's website. We've got something going on in Kokomo almost daily. So, again, I guess in October we've got the 150th birthday party for Elwood Haynes. But just visit the city's website at cityofkokomo.org. We've got a calendar of events, and come up here and enjoy a good day trip to Kokomo.
All right, Mr. Mayor. Well, we appreciate your time today, as always.
All right. Take care, Adam.
This has been Ask the Mayor with Kokomo Mayor Matt McKillop. I'm Adam Ragusa. Join us again two Wednesdays from today. Columbus Mayor Fred Armstrong will be our guest. For producer Will Murphy, engineer Mike Paskash, I'm Adam Ragusa. Thanks, as always, for listening.